Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Mark McCarron is the Executive Director of the Torrington Historical Society, a position he has held since 1985. He will be the 2017 recipient of the Culture Max Award in the History Professional category. We will talk with Mark McCarron about his interest in history, what brought him to this profession, about the Torrington Historical Society and the benefit that it brings to the community, and the History of Torrington book, which will be published in 2018. We have a lot to discuss, so we hope that you enjoy our chat with Mark McCarron here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter. Mark McCarron, thank you for coming into Torrington's studio here at WAPJ to talk to us.
My pleasure.
It is such a fantastic opportunity. I love the Torrington Historical Society. I am a member, a card-carrying member, if you will.
So glad to hear that.
Absolutely. It is well worth the investment because it is such an investment in our own history, our own
community
history.
Right.
And it's a vital part of understanding who we are and who we can become in the future. There are many different aspects of the Torrington Historical Society. There's the Carriage House now, which is a great forum for events and for special exhibits.
Right. We do programs out there. And we just had Nick Bellantoni recently, who spoke about vampires in New England history. It was very interesting talk, and I'm not gonna give away Nick's secrets, but he's got a book that he just published about it. It's very interesting.
That's fantastic. Yeah. So that was one of the most recent of many programmatic examples of what happens.
And I might also add that we're just the end of October. We closed an exhibit of recent acquisitions, things that we've added to our collection in the last 5 or so years, and it's a survey of the kinds of things that we're interested in documenting as Torrington history. So there's photographs, paintings, signs, manufactured items, a fascinating array of things connected to our town's history.
And I'm going to share some of those photos of that exhibit on nutmegchatter.com when we share this particular episode after it airs. On WAPJ,
great.
We'll share some photos of that particular exhibit because I enjoyed the exhibit as well. I was able to attend a kind of a trick-or-treat Halloween experience before it closed, so I was able to enjoy seeing that. The Torrington Historical Society not just has the Carriage House, it also has the History Museum itself, and that seems to have taken a lot of thought, time, effort, and energy to get it to the point where somebody can come in and have a deep understanding of how Torrington, what it was like and what it became to be.
Right. For years, the History Museum has referred to the building adjacent to the Hotchkiss Feiler House Museum.
That's right. Yeah.
Where we have that permanent exhibit of Torrington's history.
Yeah.
And it's been really well received. The exhibit first went up in 2003, so it's been up quite a few years. But we still get, lots of people coming through to see it and learn about the history of the community. And for anybody who's, moved to the area recently, I think it's a must-see to better understand, what goes on here.
Absolutely.
And how we got to where we are today.
That's right. And then, of course, the Hotchkiss firehouse as well. Mm-hmm. And that's a great on a different level,
right.
Being able to see the historic house. And
It's one of the finest homes ever built in Torrington and, ranks up there with some of the great homes in the state of Connecticut. And it's so well preserved. It's a real treasure.
All three of those locations also serve for the Torrington Historical Society, locations where people can visit and experience as a tourist, even if they're a tourist in their own home, or even in their own community. But the Torrington Historical Society also has a wonderful archive and a team, dedicated team, that help people who want to learn more about the Torrington's history.
Yeah, and I consider the archives the heart and soul of the organization, because that's where all the history resides. It documents photographs. If you want to know about virtually any topic in Torrington's history, we have a file on it. It's really quite amazing.
An incredible resource, The Torrington Historical Society is such an incredible resource, and you have been the executive director since 1985. That's an incredible journey. Could you tell me what's first started your interest in history in general?
I think, you know, the first real interest in history came when I was in college. You know, I had a professor, a history professor. I wasn't a history major, by the way.
Really? What were you? What,
biology major.
Really?
Okay. But I had a history professor who approached Western civilization by teaching about arts and culture and how the arts and culture of the times reflected what was happening in the world. And, you know,
a light bulb
yeah. went off. It was so fascinating. And then, you know, after I got out of college, I taught for a few years, but science, mm-hmm. you know, and then I went on a road trip with a friend of mine. We did a cross. I was really fortunate. I had the time and resources to take a cross-country road trip. And we stopped at museums all across the country. And
wow.
That's where I got my interest in museums. You know, I mean, primarily it was art museums, you know, but we stopped at history museums, natural history museums.
Sure.
And, you know, I kind of thought I would always end up working in a natural history museum because that was my background.
That was your path, right.
In the sciences, right?
Right.
But when I got back to Connecticut, I set up a dark room to process photographs that I had been taking for several years. So, you know, I started printing things that images that I had made. And just by coincidence, the Torrington Historical Society was looking for someone to print a collection of their glass plate negatives from the turn of the last century and to do an exhibit based on those photographs.
Wow.
So
Serendipity.
My interest in photography and museums led to working in a history museum.
That is incredible. And but you know what? It makes sense from the standpoint of, first of all, you had somebody who, if not a mentor, was somebody who was instrumental in showing how fun and interesting mm-hmm. history can be. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, you yourself had such a proficiency and an interest in sharing knowledge with others because you were a teacher. Granted, you were a teacher of mm-hmm. of science, but right. you were still sharing the information yeah. that you know and trying to convey yeah. that in a way. And then there's this merge of the two when it comes together.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, to this day, even though I'm the executive director, the thing I love most is doing educational programs. You know,
really?
You know, yeah. whether it's with second graders or, you know, middle school students or adults for that matter. I just love giving people tours and telling them about Torrington's history because I love Torrington's history. You know, and I love to share that enthusiasm and knowledge with people.
You know, another programmatic experience that I recall very vividly from this year was the John Brown Day exhibit where you had a guest come in. And he was a Civil War soldier.
Kevin Johnson.
And
he's
that was
amazing.
That he had the crowd riveted yeah. with his portrayal, you know, in communicating. But he was communicating as well, just in a different mm-hmm. way, in a different
yeah.
format,
yeah.
The history that he was trying to share and experience. So that was incredible. Just another one of the examples. One of the things that the Torrington Historical Society can provide to the public. Yes, please.
Yeah, that reminds me. We were celebrating John Brown's birthday with that event.
That's right, yeah.
But this year, Conrad Sinkiewicz, who's very active in the community, is helping us organize an event at the John Brown birthplace on December 2nd.
December 2nd.
Yeah, and which is the date that John Brown was executed in Charlestown, Virginia,
yes.
near Harper's Ferry after his raid on Harper's Ferry. So we are going to hold an evening walk through the John Brown property. We'll have some speakers talk about a little bit about John Brown, and you know, perhaps we'll talk about race relations in the country as well. You know, it's a topic that John Brown is very, very connected to.
Absolutely,
right?
Yes.
And it's something that's still, you know, still a topic today that, you know, needs attention.
So that's going to be December 2nd. That will be a Saturday, correct?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm looking at the calendar. It says December 2nd, Saturday, and that will be an event that will shed further light on John Brown, and it'll be at the John Brown
At the John Brown
birthplace.
birthplace, I think 4:30 is when we're going to start the hike through the property. It's about 2/3 of a mile on a pretty well groomed level trail. So, it'll be getting dark at the time, but it should be a really interesting time to be out in the woods and contemplating those, big issues in American history.
As we get more information about it, and as we kind of solidify more information what the programs are going to be on that, we'll rebroadcast this particular interview and share some of that information again on
That'd be
well,
great.
different social media. We're already at our first break. When we come back, let's talk to you some more about Torrington's history. And I understand there's going to be a fantastic book that's coming out in 2018. So excited
Can't wait to tell you
about
about
it.
it.
I'm looking forward to it. We're going to talk about that in just a few moments here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Here in studio is Mark McCarron. He is going to be the 2017 recipient of the CultureMax Award, which is a fantastic award. Going to be a fantastic ceremony. He's won it in the history professional category, and it's such an exciting time for you because I know that you're using that recognition as an opportunity to shed further light on the world of Torrington history. And that's such an incredible thing that you're doing. The Torrington history is so great, there's going to be a book about it. Tell me about that book, please.
Right. This is something that it's a collaborative effort between the Torrington Historical Society and Betsy Kaczmarczyk, who was grew up here in Torrington, lived in Seattle for many years, lived in Europe for some years as well, and has retired back to Connecticut, and approached us about collaborating on an Arcadia Images of America book, and it's going to focus on Torrington. Betsy mined our photographic collection and chose over 200 photographs that will be the meat of the book. But she's also written incredible introductions to each chapter in the book, which really describe Torrington's history. And the captions themselves required a tremendous amount of research on Betsy's part
I can only imagine, yeah.
to be able to explain the photographs in a way that sheds light on the history. So the book is interesting on many levels. It's a survey of some of the great things in our photographic collection, a collection that we're really proud of, and it's got the history to back it up. So it's really going to be I think a blockbuster book. I think it's going to go over re really well. Just for example, here's the chapters in the
Please,
book, right?
yes.
Immigration, which is that's
Always,
chapter number one. That's Torrington's
How we
story.
get here,
Yeah,
yes.
places of worship. The immigrants, as they came here, established their own churches, farms, factories, and floods. I think that the floods are in there just because of the alliteration, but the bulk of the chapter is about farms and factories, how people made a living here in Torrington. Schools comprise another chapter, businesses in addition, and then recreation and civic and service, which includes police, fire, military, things like that.
Fantastic. Yeah, so this is going to be a resource for people who are interested in Torrington history, but it's going to be a resource in a very fun way, a very visual way as well, because it's focusing on the visual history, looking at the photographs, and you're going to be transported to that particular time looking at those photos.
I like the idea that it won't be an expensive book either. It's going to be something that is affordable, for people. I'm not sure exactly what the retail price is. I think it's
Certainly.
around $20 or something like that. But it's not going to be an expensive $7,500 coffee table book. It's
Right.
something that
It's
it's going to be
something
more.
that
It's
a
going to be
family
making.
could be able to have and justify and be able to have in their homes that is going to be able to Say, hey, this is where we come from. This is the community that we live in.
It's going to make history more democratic.
Absolutely. Well, that's kind of the mission of the Torrington Historical Society, right? Is to be able to share the Torrington's history and bring it to people in many different formats, in many different ways. You know, just having the three buildings themselves are three different ways of expressing Torrington history. With, of course, the heart underneath, the archives that is the you know, the foundation, literally the foundation of everything that you do. Now, for you, you're a photographer as well. You started in the photography, and that was your way in to the Torrington Historical Society. Do you still keep up the photography?
Not, you know, as a hobby I do, but it's a transition to iPhone photography.
Sure.
You know, because it's so darn convenient, you know.
Absolutely.
You and the quality is not bad either.
You don't need the dark room, that sort of thing.
Right. But I tell you, as far as my work at the museum goes, the historic photographs are still a big part of the work I do there. I mean, I'm both myself and our curator, assistant director, Gail Krupa, are always on the lookout for photographic collections that we can add to our holdings. We also are very active in scanning collections that people are not willing to donate, but they're willing to let us scan and give us
That's helpful.
And give
yeah.
us permission to use them.
Yeah.
So it's a digital, kind of a digital archive in that sense. So we've got the actual photographs in the digital archive as a complement. And both of those were used to create, you know, the book that Betsy Kaczmarczyk worked on. I mean, I can tell you a story. I mean, just last summer, we had a call from a woman in Vermont who had been has been carrying around this collection of 300 to 400 glass plate negatives for 30 years, and she didn't know the provenance of them exactly, but she had saw some references in the collection to Torrington, right? So she contacted us. We went to Vermont, viewed the collection, decided that there were enough Torrington items in the collection that we would accept it, and now we're in the process of going through it and scanning the images and trying to analyze them more carefully and find out, you know, who actually was the photographer and what period in Torrington's history did these come from. But it's, you know, it's really an amazing thing. So my interest in photography, at least in that historic aspect of photography, is very strong to this day.
For in that, and once again, it's interesting that you mentioned the glass plate, you know, photography, if you will, because that was your entry in. So I wonder, what was the work that you actually created when you first came here, which I guess would then have been.
I'll be happy to talk about that, sure.
Are those still available, the work that you did, those photos that were the basis of that exhibit?
They're available, sure. If somebody wanted to come and see them, they could certainly come in and see them. It'd be great to get more of them online.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's something that we're lacking in. We don't have the staff or the resources to put a lot of our collection online, but that's certainly a goal, is to get more of it out there so people can experience it and appreciate it.
Would grants be the type of thing that might be able to help with that, resources, or how? Because that would be the type of opportunity, or would there be a Kickstarter campaign, or would there be some other way, fundraising mechanism, to make sure that that type of history isn't lost, that you're able to bring it up.
It would definitely take funding to do that, either funding in the sense of dollars, or maybe funding through a college intern or something like that.
Okay.
So you could use interns or grants or something. But I think the point I want to make is that our resources at the museum are stretched really thin. We are we're understaffed for the amount of material culture that we're responsible for collecting and exhibiting to the public.
Right. Well, I mean, the team that you do have, they're just a hardworking group of individuals. I can tell you just from personal experience, because I worked with them when I was researching my own things, the things that interested me within Torrington, always there to help me and to get me the articles that I needed and the information that I needed fast.
And that's something that we're very proud of, is our service to the public. You know, I mean, that comes first, you know, that's, we'll drop everything to help somebody, you know, do their research and, you know, learn more about the history of the community.
Well, believe it or not, we're already at our second break.
Wow.
When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about the Torrington Historical Society, about your involvement in it, and maybe some of the memorable events or historical, not performances, but other events or programs that you have been able to provide to the community, and maybe a preview of things to come. We'll be back in just a few moments here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Here in studio is Mark McCarron. He is the Executive Director of the Torrington Historical Society. He'll be the 2017 recipient of the CultureMax Award in the History Professional category. He began at the Historical Society in 1985. And since then, he's been instrumental in many of the different programs that have, and the programmatic activities that have resulted different ways of shedding light and sharing the information about Torrington history. Mark, could you share with me some of the, and with our listeners, you know, some of the more memorable programmatic events? Can you think of a couple that...
The one that people remind us about to this day and talk about and, you know, ask when we're going to do it again was Lincoln's Bicentennial Birthday Celebration.
Lincoln's bicentennial birthday celebration. Well, chances are you can't repeat the bicentennial, but tell me what made that so memorable.
It was a great collaboration between the Historical Society and the folks from the Connecticut Civil War Roundtable.
Oh yeah,
you know, so we worked together to do reenactments on the grounds of the Historical Society, and we brought a Lincoln reenactor to highlight the event, and he actually. We orchestrated a train ride into Torrington on the Naugatuck Valley Railroad.
You've got to be kidding me. Wow.
The museum sent a special car up to Torrington, and they rolled it into the Church Street Railroad crossing.
Wow.
And Lincoln gave a speech from the train and then disembarked, and we had a parade that went from the train tracks down Prospect Street and over to the Historical Society. And then we had all kinds of Civil War reenactors doing different aspects of Civil War history. So it was just a big event. We probably had 2,000 people on the grounds of the museum that day. So it's without a doubt the biggest event that we ever orchestrated.
You know, you mentioned people asked, you know, for that particular event, you know, when can you do that again? I don't know if you even could do that again with the train, you know, pulling into the station. I don't think you could do that again now. Is that a fair assessment? Or you could
no,
do something similar,
we can still get
to
the
it,
train.
Right?
We can still get the train. I heard it was in Torrington just recently, you know, so then, it has to travel very slowly because the tracks are not in great condition, but they can still get the train here.
Oh, well, then we better start the campaign, the grassroots campaign to make that happen, because I love that idea. I think that's a way that people can tangibly feel, you know, connected to that particular history.
Yeah, I mean, people were, you know, taking pictures with the Lincoln reenactor. You know, he was Lincoln. I mean,
it was like a Lincoln selfie before his selfies.
It was it was just unbelievable.
That's incredible. That's well, I can see why that would be a very memorable experience. Mm-hmm. And
we've done some exhibits that were pretty memorable too. The ones that are most well attended are the ones that connect to an important aspect in Torrington's history, and there's two that come to mind that were. They were very successful in that regard. They brought a lot of people out. You're not going to be surprised when you hear what it was, the flood of 1955.
Flood of 1955, right? Absolutely, yes.
We've done two exhibits on the flood of 55 on different anniversaries, and they've always been very well attended, very well received. And it's, you know, it's a great reminder of how the community came together as one to recover from a disaster. And I think that's an important lesson, because there's often, divisions and, within the community and things like that. But it just shows, the potential there to come together and, rise to the occasion and solve a problem.
And you know what? I think that's great that you do it more than once, because I think with every generation we need to relearn some of the lessons of history, especially those lessons where we come together after great catastrophes to do great things.
That should probably be our next book, is a book on the flood.
I think that would
I mean, there were some booklets that were done at the time of the flood, but no one's ever done a really comprehensive history.
Well, you have the
So,
resources there of and I agree. I think that would be a fantastic program.
the other exhibit that we did that was really well received was an exhibit on the history of downtown Torrington. People love downtown Torrington, and the reason they love it is because it's retained its historic buildings. So it's got a real sense of place. And
Yes.
that's so important for the future of Torrington as well, because I know for a fact that people have moved here to Torrington, relocated from other places in Connecticut because of our downtown. They
Absolutely.
like the sense that there's a center, it's got
The five points,
history,
yep.
it's got beauty, and now it's got more arts and culture organizations than ever.
Absolutely. And one of the cultural high water marks, I guess, for Torrington is the Torrington Historical Society. The Torrington Historical Society is a valuable asset for our community, and thank you for being a part of that and leading that and providing that service to our community. And I look forward to all the programs that are to come. I especially look forward to the book that's coming out in 2018.
It's going to be great.
For more information about the Torrington Historical Society, Mark, where can they go?
Well, we'd love to have people stop by the museum. So, if you want to learn more about the Historical Society, please stop by. But what
And
might be
the address?
192 Main Street. What might be more convenient for some people was to visit our website. The website has, a capsule history of the Historical Society. It has information about our programs. There's a membership link, a donate link, things of that sort.
Okay, so
How
people
people
are
can
going to be
support.
able to support the Torrington Historical Society from that page. That would be www.torringtonhistoriclesociety.org. So that's where they can
That's it.
find out more information. And you also have a Facebook page as well.
We do actually, yes. We have quite a few followers, and I would encourage people to take a look there because often on Facebook we post new additions to our collection as well as upcoming events and programs.
So that's a way that people can start on their journey, but then hopefully they can continue their journey physically at the museum itself.
That would be great.
Congratulations on winning the Culture Max Award for 2017 and for all the work that you do.
Thank you.
That's Mark McCarron. Thank you for being a part of Nutmeg Chatter. Nutmeg Chatter is a production of WAPJ Torrington Community Radio. Some of the music has been provided by the Jingle Punks, courtesy of YouTube royalty-free music, so we thank them for that. Please stay tuned for other shows on WAPJ. Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoyed the chat.